This recording, England 47, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and much more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The vet implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you'd only expect to see that on a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made it an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice of a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto the comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned her that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Cambridge, England in 1980, and I was raised there and I still live there, although I go to university in Leicester. My primary school was set in my village. It was a Church of England primary school, so we had to go to the occasional carol service and such like, such as Christingle, where you put the candle in the orange. And we had a very strange vicar there who once seemed to have one of his friends along for communion. And his friend was a bit drunk, and so I fell into the communion table and it caused a massive clatter. Also had we formed the choir of the church every time there was any sort of carol service going. And we had a teacher there called Mr. McKinder, who actually ran the football team. He was a very good football team trainer because we won every single game because he's ruthless. But he was an atheist, so he started singing Chaz and Dave songs instead of the songs we were supposed to be singing. Anyway, so I left there when I was 11, and then I went to secondary school in Sawston, which is a village college near to where I live, about 3 miles away. That was a terrible school, just full of pikies, really. And sort of people with gelled fringes and earrings and just generally sort of a slightly depressing place. So I stayed there for 5 years, and then I went to school in Cambridge, Hills Road Sixth Form College, which is a very, very good school, still is quite a good school. My brother and my sister both went there. My dad went there when it was actually Cambridgeshire High School for Boys. He went there with Sid Barrett from Pink Floyd, and I think Dave Gilmour went there as well, I think, I'm pretty sure. And I think Roger Waters also went there. I think all three of them actually went there. My dad was actually in Scouts with Sid Barrett. He once went on a scout camp with him, and Sid Barrett offered him a spliff. Of course, my dad turned it down, or at least that's what he told me. Although my uncle's lying, though, claims to have once shook hands with Jimi Hendrix at a rock festival and then dropped acid with him, but I don't trust that for a second. Then my dad took a gap year, worked in the Cambridge University Library for a year, which was fun because it was absolutely no work whatsoever. And then I decided to go to university. So, and then I ended up in Kansas, which is a lot of fun, actually.